Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. New and improved airlines are appearing everywhere, but who will benefit? Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom for today, March 13th, as we start a new article. It's a trends article, which those I think are always fun because they point to different things that are happening around the world, different new things that are going on, and how they affect us. My name is Naomi, and I will admit I am a pretty frequent flyer. I like to take airplanes all around the world, and so I've had quite a few experiences with airlines. Most of them very positive, but of course, everyone I think who travels has a few negative experiences as well, which is what I'm going to ask our panelists about first. So I'll turn first to Nathaniel today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I also fly fairly frequently, and so when reading this article, I definitely responded personally, as if this was personally going to affect my life, and maybe it will at some point.
Mm. So what are things about flying that you enjoy?
Well, I like being in the airports, actually. Not necessarily for a really long time, but there's kind of a homey feel to them for me because they've always been a transition for me, going kind of from my home country to my home in Asia. And it's kind of just an interesting setting where things are in between.
It is. And there's a lot to see and do. There's a lot of people to look at and watch as they interact. I agree that airports can be a lot of fun. What about anything negative about flying for you?
Well, I mean, sometimes, especially on the longer flights, they can be uncomfortable. I have a hard time sleeping on flights for very long at once.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that, too. Well, also in the studio with us today is Ellen. And Ellen, you've flown quite a bit as well.
I have. Usually, I do fly quite long distance. If it's not from Asia back to the States, it's from South America back to the States.
Mm.
So
okay.
I have also had some pretty interesting experiences flying.
Do any stand out?
Usually it does have to do with comfort.
Okay.
Whether or not I have enough leg room, you know, to be able to stretch out my legs, or if you have somebody sitting behind you who likes to kick the seat.
Oh,
that is
yes.
Sometimes a very bad experience.
That can be frustrating.
Yeah.
I have the longtime listeners of the show might know that I'm very tall. I'm 182 centimeters. And so for me, sitting in an airplane seat is usually a little bit frustrating already. But for me, the worst thing is when the person in front of me insists on leaning their seat way back for the whole flight, because then I can't move my legs at all. And I understand they want to be more comfortable, but it's at the cost of my comfort, and I find it a little hard. I don't want to be rude, but at the same time, it makes my flight a lot worse. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things that could improve my airline experiences. Mostly, I think everyone wants legroom. Am I right?
Yes, I think so. I think that is the biggest complaint for people that fly. And really, there is very little space between the seats as it is. So that made me very skeptical about part of this article.
Mm, okay. Ellen, anything else really stand out for you? In your dream airplane, what would be around you? What would you be able to enjoy?
Probably in my dream flight, no one else would be around me. It would be kind of a private plane, but that's probably not possible. You know, just to have more room, I think, you know, just not even leg room, just perhaps your seat to have more room and not feel like you are right next to somebody sitting next to you.
Mm. Another one for me is entertainment, especially on those long flights. If it's just 1 or 2 hours, I'm very happy with my book or my magazine. But When it's, you know, 10 hours plus, I really love to have some movies and TV shows that I can enjoy, some good music to listen to. And so for me, that does make a big difference as well. Let's find out what some of the changes are that are occurring in airlines today and exactly who those changes are going to help. We'll begin our first reading on page 22.
The ups and downs of airplane improvements. Airlines recraft the cabin by adding and adjusting amenities inside jets. After decades of relatively little change, aircraft cabins in the United States are undergoing a renaissance that promises to make the flying experience more comfortable and enjoyable for passengers. We've seen in the last year or so some tremendous improvements in the passenger experience, said Mary Kirby, editor-in-chief of Airline Passenger Experience magazine. Airlines were rather stagnant for many years in terms of what they offered. But airline executives facing stiff competition and high fuel costs are not making pricey changes out of benevolence. The best goodies are reserved for passengers toward the front of the plane, sanctuary for travelers willing to pay more or those with elite frequent flyer status. Upgrades in some cases mean economy class, believe it or not, will become more cramped. Fortunately, some in-cabin perks will trickle back to coach to distract attention from snug confines.
So the ups and downs of airplane improvements is the title of our article today. And I think it's funny because sometimes when I think of airlines, I think of turbulence.
Yes, the plane does literally go up and down, sometimes quite a lot in turbulence. Of course, here when we say ups and downs, we're kind of talking about the advantages or disadvantages of airplane improvements.
Okay, and how does our deck explain this today?
Our deck explains it as airlines recraft the cabin by adding and adjusting amenities inside jets. So amenities are extras or benefits that you can find in an airline.
Good. Often I'll see this word on a hotel website. They'll say, these are the amenities offered in your room. Hair dryer, slippers. Like, okay, that's good. But if it says bathrobe, then I get excited. Okay. All right. So how do we begin today, Nathaniel?
After decades of relatively little change, aircraft cabins in the United States are undergoing a renaissance.
Ooh, big word.
Yes, a renaissance is like a rebirth, I think, is basically what the word means. We often use that when we're talking about a historical period called the Renaissance. But here, undergoing a renaissance means that a big change, maybe even a complete change, a rebirth, is happening.
Okay, so after a long time where there was relatively little change, so not a lot of differences happening, suddenly there's this huge thing that's happening, a big, big shift, and it's promising, the change is promising to do something for us.
Right, it's promising to make the flying experience more comfortable and enjoyable for passengers.
Well, that sounds good. I'm excited about that. All right, first we hear from Mary Kirby, who is editor-in-chief of Airline Passenger Experience magazine, which sounds like an interesting magazine to read. I have never heard of that one before, but I might need to check it out. What does she say?
We've seen in the last year or so some tremendous improvements in the passenger experience. I would like to know which airplanes she's been riding.
But tremendous improvements.
Yeah, great. Just really, when we say tremendous, it usually is something that's very big, very notable, or something very important, I guess, at times, too.
Good. So airlines, she says, before, well, like we mentioned, they hadn't changed that much.
Right. She specifically says airlines were rather stagnant for many years in terms of what they offered. Where stagnant means it just wasn't improving, it wasn't getting any better.
Okay, stagnant is a term that we often use to talk about maybe the quality of air or of water. It's not moving at all. Right,
right. So air, when it's moving, it keeps it fresh. So if something stands there or stays there for a very long time, we call it stagnant, and usually it's not very good.
Yeah, it's a bit stale. And it's interesting, again, because inside an airplane cabin, the air can start to feel a little stagnant after a long flight. And so airlines were kind of just keeping the same standard. They weren't really going down, but they weren't really improving either. But recently, there have been some changes. The issue is, well, why are they making these changes?
Well, executives were facing stiff competition and high fuel costs. High fuel costs are not making pricey changes out of benevolence. So one issue is that these different airlines have to compete with each other, so they want to offer more amenities, more services to passengers. That's one issue.
Good. Stiff competition. It's funny because stiff just... Usually we mean something that can't bend or can't change, but often we use it to describe competition, just meaning that our competitors are very strong, they're very tough. But also high fuel costs, of course, is an issue for everyone.
Right. High fuel costs, I'm sure people have noticed when they go to fill up their scooters or their cars, have noticed that fuel costs more and more.
Right. So this is an issue on land and in the air. So therefore, these changes are not being made just out of benevolence, and that's a fun word, kindness, helpfulness, the goodness of your heart. These executives are not saying, oh, well, we just love our customers so much. How can we treat them well? How can we give them something wonderful? Of course not. And the next sentence to me is a very key sentence in this article.
The best goodies are reserved for passengers toward the front of the plane, which is maybe why I responded as I did earlier, because I haven't seen as many of these changes, but maybe the part of the plane that I ride is not experiencing these changes.
Okay, when we talk about goodies, what do we mean?
Well, goodies are something nice or something pleasant. We also sometimes say candies are goodies, right? They are sweet. They're usually good. Things and things we look forward to.
Yeah, like treats. And so they are reserved or saved for passengers toward the front of the plane. And then our author describes that front of the plane experience very, very nicely.
Right. They call it a sanctuary for travelers willing to pay more for the frequent flyer status.
Okay. A sanctuary?
A sanctuary is a place where people feel safe. Usually, you will often hear it in the context of a church.
Mm-hmm.
A sanctuary is where people go to pray or their service is held.
Yes, and so it sort of gives that feeling, like you said, you feel secure, but also very peaceful and calm, and it gives you a wonderful feeling. And so people are willing to pay for that in this case. They feel like, oh, I need that calm, I need that peace on my flight. And, of course, some of them also have elite frequent flyer status.
Yes, I wish I had elite frequent flyer status when I was flying. Of course, many of us might have frequent flyer miles, but that elite status might be harder to attain.
Right. If it's elite, it's very special. And so for a lot of programs, you need to fly, you know, however many thousands of miles a month to qualify, not just a year. And so even those of us who feel like we are pretty frequent flyers probably wouldn't qualify for these kinds of goodies. Now, upgrades in some cases actually mean really bad news for most of us.
Right. The upgrades in some cases mean the economy class or the class that sits in the back will actually become more cramped, or there's going to be less space for them.
I like that they put that phrase, believe it or not. Why do they say that, Nathaniel?
Well, if you go into economy class today, you probably will sit down and think, can this be any more crowded and cramped? Can there be any less room for my legs, for my things? But they're telling us that it might actually be reduced even more.
Oh, boy, that is not good news for me. That means if people lean their seats back, I won't be able to move at all. Oh, no. Well, but fortunately, some in-cabin perks will trickle back.
Right. Trickle back means to gradually move back, to gradually come down. So usually first class will get something first, and then eventually business class, and then economy class will get it.
Right. And we mean that, like, even over a period of years, for instance, having personal TV screens used to be absolutely only for first class. And now it's pretty standard, actually, on a lot of planes. And so they will trickle back to coach to do what?
Distract attention from snug confines. That's kind of a very, very nice way of saying crowded space, snug confines. When I hear snug, I usually think comfortable, mm-hmm. actually, even if close. And confines are a close or, not a lot of space, an area without much space.
Mm-hmm. If you're snug, often you're cozy. Sort of, for example, if it's wintertime, I like to be all snug, wrapped up tightly in my blanket in my bed. But I don't like to be squished between, two other beds. So, of course, this idea that you're stuck in the middle of all these people, they do want to distract you. Maybe they'll offer a few things to help get your attention away from the fact that actually you can't move at all. So far this article has some pros and some cons. Let's learn more about the problem of legroom as we continue in our reading.
Legroom logistics. Personal space is the most coveted of passenger amenities and the most expensive. What people care first and foremost about is getting the best possible price, and then they want to make sure that when they stand up from their airplane ride, they can still feel their knees, said Henry Hartvelt, a travel industry analyst. An aircraft fuselage has only so many square feet, so seat configuration is a zero-sum puzzle if an airline gives seats. Many airlines now allow you to pay for more legroom. Some airlines throw in a few extras, too. For example, American allows priority boarding with upgrades to main cabin extra. In reality, this new class of seat is what business class used to be. Legroom is clearly what people value, said Joe Brancatelli, a business travel writer. They want it for free, of course, but they will pay for it.
So, logistics, this is a word that's popping up in a couple of our articles this month. The idea of logistics has to do with just sort of the facts of getting something done.
Yeah, so logistically is just kind of the organization of something.
Okay, so if I'm organizing an event, I might say, well, I'm excited about it, but there's a lot of logistical details to think about. I have to consider the budget and the timing and so on and so forth. Now, so when it comes to legroom, it's not the easiest thing in the world to organize, actually. We love it, we want more of it, but for the airlines, it's a bit complicated.
Yeah, we start out here by saying personal space is the most coveted of passenger amenities and the most expensive. If you covet something, you really desire it. Often, I think, if you see what someone else has and you really want what they have.
Okay. And I like how this sentence is constructed. When we see that long dash and then, and the most expensive, we're giving a lot of emphasis to that final point because the first thing is not really surprising. Personal space is, of course, we all want it, but it's so expensive. Now, that's a key point here. That's something for us to consider. And so we hear next from a travel industry analyst named Henry Hartvelt. And what does he explain?
Well, he explains that what people care first and foremost about is getting the best possible price, and then they want to make sure that when they stand up from their airplane ride, they can still feel their knees.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
So first and foremost?
First and foremost is usually just the first thing people think of or the priority that they have.
Good, the priority. I like that. Right. So number one is money. Number two is comfort. So if money comes first, well, how does that all work out? As we continue, we see that, again, as we mentioned before, there are some logistical issues to consider.
Yes, an aircraft fuselage has only so many square feet, so seat configuration is a zero-sum puzzle. So there is limited space in an airplane, of course. We all know that. What we don't always consider is, though it might be uncomfortable for us, it's very difficult for an engineer or for a designer to give a lot of space and still be able to, for the airline, basically, to break even, to make the money that it needs to with their flights.
Right. And so they're basically saying, well, if you want seats in the first place, there's really only so much they can do. They need to be able to support the flight, and there's only so much room. So what are you going to do? It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you think of furniture in a room and you think, okay, I want to rearrange this room. Well, you really have to pay attention because there's only so much space. There's only so many ways you can do that. And so it's something that really takes a lot of consideration. That idea of a zero-sum puzzle?
Well, zero-sum just means that if one person gains, somebody else is going to lose the same exact amount. So an example might be you are earning a living, so your employer, the person that has hired you, is losing that money by paying you that amount.
Okay. All right. So anytime they give a seat, they have to take another one away, basically.
Right.
Okay. So many airlines, though, will allow you to pay. So they can't always give all these beautiful seats to people, but they will maybe allow you to pay for more legroom.
Mm-hmm. And some airlines throw in a few extras, too, which we'll get into. But, of course, when they talk about paying more for legroom, they're talking about business class. They're talking about first class, where you have much bigger seats and much more space in front of those seats.
Right. So usually we think of airlines as having the economy class and the first class, and that's it. But now they are sometimes offering something a little bit of a – it's sort of a bit of a compromise in between. So we see, for example, main cabin extra.
Right. American Airlines, an airline in the United States, has this new, I guess, area called the main cabin extra.
Right. So if you upgrade, if you pay a little extra, you get a little more legroom and you get priority boarding. What's that?
Well, you get to board the plane before most of the others. You're the priority passenger, so you get to board the plane first.
Okay, so it is sort of this whole new in-between class. And I've never flown first class or business class, but I have flown this kind of medium, sort of like regular plus. And it is nice. In reality, we see in the next sentence.
In reality, this new class of seat is actually what used to be the business class.
Right. Business class is turning into this, like we said, a sanctuary, something totally special and different. And this sort of regular extra is sort of the in-between that it used to be.
Right.
Okay. And according to this business travel writer, Joe Brancatelli, what does he say?
He says that legroom is clearly what people value, and they want it for free, of course, but they will pay for it. So this is actually maybe a pretty good business plan for airlines as well. They know that people are going to need to fly one way or another. If you need to fly somewhere, you have to fly. And they might just be willing to pay a little bit more for a more comfortable flight, especially for those 13, 14-hour flights.
Right. And I feel like for some of us, again, the height thing is a consideration when it comes to legroom. For some people, you know, you want more comfort, but it's not really necessary. But for someone like me, I've had airplane seats where I could really barely fit into the seat. And so in that case, I feel like I don't have a choice. It's either that or business, and I have to just be uncomfortable. But if there's an in-between option, oh, that I'm excited about.
Right, right. Anytime you can get a little bit more for probably not too much more
money.
Too much more money, then it's always a great thing.
Right. I have flown this sort of in-between class before, and it's something that I'm willing to pay for, even though it is extra. It makes me just more comfortable. I rest better on the flight. I'm happier when I land. And so for me, it's worth the money. And so it is a little extra, but I get I think I get to board a little sooner. I get a little more luggage allowance. It's not first class, but there are some perks, and it's worth a couple of hundred extra dollars to me on a long flight. But it does seem, I don't know, a little unfair that so many of the perks are going just to business class.
Right. All of the business class passengers or first class passengers, they keep getting all of these advantages, and it just seems like it's always cutting from the majority of passengers, which do fly in economy class.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, if you could have some kind of perk, some kind of goodie or treat in economy class that would help you feel a bit more comfortable other than legroom, what would it be?
Probably, as you mentioned earlier, entertainment, because it will distract you. It makes you not think of the fact you can't feel your legs.
Okay, so having maybe a choice of movies.
Right. And I personally often look forward to flying because I know new movies are coming out.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Some of the newest movies that are out you can watch on the airplanes. I think I would say the same thing, too, because honestly, I don't sleep that much on a plane, and the movies or the TV show that I can watch there really does distract me from that lack of rest or comfort.
Okay. For me, one thing, too, is just good service and maybe some nice snacks or at least good beverages being offered. You know, if it's a long flight and sometimes, you know, they'll turn off the lights and everyone's supposed to sleep and I can't really sleep. But then also no one's bringing any juice or any water by and I'm feeling, you know, you get dehydrated on a plane. For me, when the flight staff is around and they're ready to help you and they come by pretty frequently, to me that helps too. It just makes me feel a bit more comfortable and like if I do have a problem, it's easy to resolve it. So that's another factor for me. Overall, any final thoughts from our first day?
I'm excited for these changes. and hopefully in the near future, I can experience this main cabin extra.
Okay. Yeah, or maybe some of those things will trickle down.
Right.
Yeah, it seems to me that another thing that would make passengers more satisfied would be a little bit more of a baggage allowance you mentioned earlier, but they've become actually much more strict and limiting on that in recent years as well. It used to be you could take two bags, no problem, and now it's only one.
Okay. Well, tomorrow we'll find out about some of the extra perks that are being offered that we haven't mentioned today. So join us then. We'll see you tomorrow.